For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Jim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. FA Cup first round this weekend means a magical weekend for the 32 clubs from non-league. Will we see cup sets and new legendary stories created? You'd hope so, and at FA Cup, Fat File Phil Innes is my first guest, who offers insight into where they might come from. The final game of the 40 ties this weekend sees Cray Valley Paper Mills make the very short trip to their big cousins locally at Charlton Athletic. Paper Mills boss Steve McKim is no stranger to FA Cup runs, both as a player and a manager, and his current side are certainly in the sort of form that you would expect to maybe make those dreams come true. Unbeaten in the league and also into the FA Trophy second round. He tells me why he's just taking this one as he would any other game. Rounding off the show and helping round up this week's news is editor-at-large of the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. The usual combination of FA Cup, FA Trophy and managerial moves are among the topics of discussion and the stories that feature in this weekend's Non-League Paper. Plenty to come then, so sit back, relax and let's get matters underway. So FA Cup first round to... Well, for some non-league fans, it's a myth, a much-desired achievement never quite achieved. To others, it's stuff of legend. It's tales of great days out, cup sets and one-off occasions passed down from generation to generation. As we reach that stage again, of course, there is only one FA Cup statistician legend to turn to. And I'm pleased to give an extra special non-league football show welcome back to at FA Cup Fact File, Mr. Phil Innes. Welcome back, Phil.
Hello, Tim. Yes, good to be back. Always a bit nervous about the term legend. That normally means someone's passed on a long time ago. So, no, I'm still here and hopefully can still provide you with facts and stats about this weekend's FA Cup.
You can be a legend in your own lifetime. Don't worry about that, Phil. And it's great to have you back. Appreciate your bounce back ability as well. That's a word I've not used for a while after your recent hospital stay. And straight back on the bike, so to speak, with another 40 ties and you've created stats for each one of them.
I have, yes. So I had the chance to pull together facts and stats for all 40 ties and put them onto my Twitter account at FA Cup Fact File. So ahead of this weekend, if you want to know any top line information about any or all of the ties, then take a look at it through there.
And games across the weekend as well, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And good to see that there's four TV games for non-league fans to follow and watch as well. Friday, we got Sheppey United, Walsall on ITV, or ITV4 and ITVX. Saturday, the 5:45 game, Bromley against Blackpool. That's on BBC2 and BBC iPlayer and BBC Sports. That Sunday, we've got Chesterfield against Portsmouth. That's the 12:15 ITV game across their platforms. And 2:45 on ITVX, the all Football League game between Crewe Alexandra and Derby County. But then non-league, rounding it all off, which I think is great. And we'll come to this game later. It's Charlton Athletic, Cray Valley, Paper Mills, at 5:30 p.m. kickoff on BBC Two, iPlayer and BBC Sport platforms. And obviously, I think after that, we should have the second round draw too. Beginning with that Sheppey United Walsall game on Friday evening.
Yeah, so that's a fantastic game, isn't it? For Sheppey United, the lowest ranked club that's still standing in the competition and... with a home tie as well, now in front of the TV cameras, so it'll be a very special occasion. Depending on what you think is the history of the club, there are some that are saying that this is now 105 FA Cup campaigns that it's taken the club, Sheppey United, to make it to the first round for the first time ever, which, if it is a one continuous club from those days in the 19th century, then that would be an FA Cup record. It's a bit debatable because it's not sure really what happened in the early 2010s about whether or not it was a brand new club formed or if it's continuous. So either way, it's great to see them in their first round proper and with a great chance to cause a major upset.
Indeed. I mean, history being made as ever across across the round as it does every round. And I love the fact that facts are supposed to be concrete and immovable. But as you mentioned, in the land of club reincarnation, sometimes facts are malleable, aren't they? It's and Sheffield United will be focusing on the facts that help them, I guess, with their psychology going into this one. And opposition Walsall, they'll probably want to shy away from some of those stats.
Well, I think they would. They've not got the greatest FA Cup history at all, and they'll know exactly why this tie has been picked for TV coverage. So they'll be all nervous about being on the wrong end of a major cup set. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they stand up to that. And with the conditions that we know are going to be around this weekend, that's a great leveller. So it should be really interesting to see what goes on.
Yeah, so the Phoenix clubs have maybe added an extra quirk to some of these stats, and you sort, as you say, where the, an original club is counted. But even with Phoenix clubs, sometimes ties are thrown up with new places to visit for clubs and fans, and Chester, York City, for example.
Yeah, so Chester and York City, they're two clubs with long histories, I guess, if you connect the clubs together. You'd have expected them to have met in the FA Cup at some time in the competition, but as it happens, this will be the first time there's a FA Cup tie between those two clubs, whatever iterations that there have been in the past. So that was quite a surprise to learn. Chester with the lower level team at the moment, we're looking for victory, which would take them into the second round to equal their best run since their current incarnation.
Wow. And as well as clubs sort of meeting each other for the first time, there's some clubs, by contrast, they're probably sick of the sight of each other. Eastleigh, Boreham Wood, they might even query whether there's some sort of magnetic properties or something on their balls when the FA Cup draws are made.
It is an amazing coincidence. Yes, this is the third successive season that the two sides have been drawn together in the first round of the competition, and that becomes a competition record for two non-league sides to meet so frequently in successive seasons. Eastleigh, I think, have got a home advantage this time. I think they were away in the other two times. Boreham Wood were victors, and obviously went on to have some good cup runs in all both those two seasons. But Eastleigh will be hoping to make it third time lucky with that home advantage.
Yeah, clubs might know each other. Obviously, those two in the National League are competing against each other as well in recent seasons, time after time. But sometimes you can be a very local club and never meet that club that's just round the corner. And plenty of derbies, of course, and the big one being that final game on the Sunday TV, 5:30 p.m. kickoff, I think. Charlton Athletic against Cray Valley Paper Mills. And again, only you could come up with a certain fact. I'll leave that one for you to reveal.
Well, it is fantastic, yes. It's Charlton Athletic, former FA Cup winners, against Cray Valley Paper Mills, where there are more league divisions that separate the two sides than there are actual physical miles. So there's five league divisions between them, but less than 4 miles as the crow flies between the two clubs. And it is really only the FA Cup that can bring these two different clubs together in what is a competitive match. And that's one of the beauties of the competition. That's one of the reasons why I'm a big supporter of what it's all about. And for it to have been chosen as well to be shown live on TV, I think that's a great decision by the BBC to show this game, because it could well be a one-off, once-in-a-lifetime event, particularly for the Cray Valley Bacon side to go and visit their illustrious neighbours.
And talking about those once-in-a-lifetime, probably beyond once-in-a-lifetime, I suppose Oxford United, Maidenhead United, could be construed as a derby. Not too far for Maidenhead United to travel as the non-leaguers, but well, that second round appearance does seem a long way off for that club.
Yeah, I think it's becoming a little bit of a chain over and their necks, isn't it? The ability of Maidenhead United to make the second round of the FA Cup again. They're one of the founding members of the FA Cup back in 1871-72 season, and prior to the days of qualifying in the Football League, they had a couple of good runs through to the quarterfinals, but they last made the second round 137 years ago. And it's been difficult for them to try and get to the second round again, but they've had a lot of chances in recent times. This will actually be their seventh time in 9 seasons that they've appeared in the first round, which is an amazing achievement in itself for any non-league club to get to the first round so often in such a short space of time. And it must be quite frustrating for them that they haven't quite made it. And up against Oxford United, who some fans may feel they've never played in the FA Cup before, but the truth of the matter is they have, unfortunately, placed them three times in the past, back in the 1950s. But back in those days, Oxford United were known as Headington United. And unfortunately for Maidenhead, Headington won on all three previous occasions. So history is not on their side in many aspects, but maybe this is their year.
Yeah, well, yeah, it might not be the week that Maidenhead fans are looking to pick up stats from you to give them encouragement going into this game. But I wish them well. And as ever, at some point, records need to be broken, don't they? And this round, cup sets will be made. It's an unwritten guarantee, isn't it, the first round proper of the FA Cup. We've maybe highlighted a couple of occasions where that may occur, but there are a number of competition records as well, I think, that will be equaled or broken if the lower-level club pull off a cup set at this round.
Yeah, there's been some fantastic draws for some of the level 7 and level 8 clubs to have a chance to visit much higher-level opposition. And as a consequence, potential is there not only to be able to set club records to get themselves into the second round for the first time or for the first time in a long time, or to equal their best run, but also to, as you said, set a competition record. The biggest gap for an away side to create a cup set in terms of league status is a four-league gap. So a step, an EFL one side losing at home to a level 7 side. That happened last year, I think, when Cheltenham Town lost at Howth Church. So there's every chance for clubs like Horsham, I've got a couple others here. There's Whitby Town who are away. They're going over to Bristol Rovers. And then there's also Bracknell Town who visit Cambridge United. They're all four league gaps between them, so a chance to equal the record. But actually one club, and we talked about already, has a chance to set a new record because there's five steps between Cray Valley Paper Mills and Charlton Athletic, and that could be the first time ever, if all the cards align for them, that we saw a five-level gap away victory in the FA Cup. There has been a five-level gap at home back in 2007-08 when Chasetown won 1-0 against Port Vale, and that is the biggest gap between league status in the pop round of the competition that's ever happened.
I'm pleased you're on hand because I would never have sort of even thought about the researching into that. But it's fascinating stuff, Phil. And of course, we've got these non-leaguers against Football League opposition, which is, where I guess a lot of the magic appears in the FA Cup first round. But of course, there are also a number of all non-league ties already in there too. Curzon Ashton, Barnet, Yeovil, Gateshead, Chesham United, Mason United, to name but a few, which means that the second round draw is going to have plenty of representation from the non-league game, whatever happens.
Yeah, it's good to know that we've got guaranteed non-league clubs in, although it's also at the same time going to lose some for sure. Alfton Town v Worthing is a good one because the winner of that tie will guarantee that they equal the best ever FA Cup run the club has ever had, so history will be made in that tie regardless. Yeovil Town against Gateshead, that's going to be a fantastic, probably the biggest travelling journey of the round. And Yeovil already setting an FA Cup record just by being in the first round, as it's now 53 times they've made it to the first round as a non-league club, extending their own record that was set just a couple of seasons ago. So that's great there. And then got a fabulous tie, Ramsgate versus Woking. I know Ramsgate may be a bit disappointed they didn't get a league side, but still a home tie gives them a chance to maybe stay in the competition.
Indeed. And it's all about, I know from the time being involved at Gedding and getting all the way to the third round proper against Newcastle United, it's like those first round and second round ties where you get drawn against non-league opposition. There's a little bit of disappointment, but then naturally there may be a bigger pot of gold and bigger celebration at the end of it. So plenty of stats you run us through there, Phil. Any maybe that we've missed out on that you might want to flag up with us ahead of this weekend of FA Cup magic?
There's just a couple of other things. There's about five clubs who are looking to try and make the second round for the first time ever. We've talked about most of them. One we haven't yet talked about is Scarborough Athletic, who I think they've got a home tie, do they?
They have, yeah, the Forest Green Rovers, I believe.
Forest Green Rovers, so that's you know, eminently a chance to do that. And Bracknell Town, we talked about going to Cambridge. And then there's another 11 clubs who are, with a victory, would take them into the second round for to equal their best ever run. And one of those is Solihull Moors, who are on a great run already. This is their eighth successive season when they've made it to the first round as a non-league side, which is quite commendable, really, to do it in so many successive years. It doesn't happen very often. Still got a long way to go for the record, though, which is held by Hereford United, who did it 17 years on the trot. So, that is some going to match that total, but still, it's fantastic for them, and you know, it would be their fifth time in the second round if they were able to do it. Slough Town is another side who would equal their best if they could defeat last season's unexpected cup side, Grimsby Town. Mm-hmm. They've already got eight second round appearances under their belt, and that is the competition record for them. Most times appearing in the second round without ever having made the third round, so you know, they'll be keen to try and get that stat off their back. But I think one of my favourite pieces of trivia from the round is about Chesterfield and Portsmouth, who have met before in the FA Cup. And the first time they met was way back in 1904-05 in what was then called the Intermediate Round, which is a round that many people won't even have heard of before. And even I don't understand the terminology and why it was introduced as a separate round. But it was short-lived. It lived about three or four or five seasons. And Portsmouth and Chesterfield did meet in that intermediate round, which may not be on everybody's radar when they're looking to see past FA Cup encounters.
Magical stuff, Phil. Magical stuff. Before I let you go, just remind people where they can find the full depth of all these stats and facts on each tie in this round.
Yeah, so just find me on Twitter at FA Cup Flat File. Just check my tweets there and you can see lots of facts and stats for all 40 of this weekend's ties.
Brilliant stuff. Phil Annetts, great to have you back on the Non-League Football Show. That's at FA Cup Fact File. And we'll speak to you again very soon.
Cheers, Jim. Thanks for that.
So as Phil Annetts mentioned, one of the big ties of the round and the one with the most potential for records to be broken is the final game of the weekend. Charlton Athletic against Cray Valley Paper Mills. A more local derby in London it would be hard to find, and a more exciting battle, David against Goliath, this weekend equally so. So to tell us how preparations are going, let's offer a warm welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Manager at Cray Valley Paper Mills, Mr. Steve McKim. Welcome back, Steve.
No problem. How are you? You okay?
I'm good. And I'm guessing, really, the first question I should ask, was there any better tie that you could have pulled in this round?
Not for nostalgia, no. Could have had Derby or Portsmouth, big clubs in League One. But Charlton's just as big with their pedigree they've had, having won the Cup and been in the Premiership. And like I say, it's only 4 miles from our ground. So, no, that's probably a tie that everybody wanted at the club.
And what about this Sunday at 5:30 p.m? Have you ever kicked off before then in your managerial or playing career?
When I played at Gravesend, we played Notts County in the second round of the FA Cup. And that was 5:30, but that was on a Saturday. So on a Sunday, no, it's all new and it'd be new to the players. So it'd be a bit strange. It's something they've just got to get on with.
And how does that then change your preparations? We're talking Thursday evening. I'm guessing you have training as normal on Thursday, but do you have a run through with them on Saturday as well?
No, we discussed it as a staff, but so it wasn't worth it because all you're doing is bringing people into another day where there's not much you can do. Give the information on Tuesday and Thursday, let them just prepare and be excited for the game on Sunday.
Yeah. And you mentioned that whole City game. Yourself and, your long-term number two and former teammate Barry Moore, you've had more than your fair share of FA Cup memories in your careers, both on and off the field. Is this going to be the biggest game, though, that maybe you've been involved in?
Possibly it'd be one of them. Like I say, we both played when the winners of that would have played Chelsea. So just above mid-table in the League One. Got plenty of good players. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But, yeah, it'd be one of the bigger games that we've been involved in. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and in terms of stats and preparations, I'm guessing there's a chance that Charlton might rest a few. Does that actually make it more difficult for you to do your job on them before the game, or does it actually help you so you just have to focus on your game?
No, it's going to be difficult because you don't know if they're going to go strong with what they've had in the league so far to get where they are, or they're going to rest a few and put some younger lads in. They're still going to be good, by the way. But yeah, we won't know until we get the team sheet. And whether they play younger lads or whatever, I still think they're going to play the same way. You don't just change it because you bring three or four players in. So the preparation and the information we get our players in terms of about Charlton, it will hopefully still be the same, unless they just do a mad one and change everything completely. In terms of players, you just got to play what's in front of you, whether they're the older, experienced players or the younger, hungrier players. So we'll just go there and do what we can do.
Yeah, and what I love most about non-league is that not only do we have our own stato at FA Cup Fat Farmers to fill nets, but we also have lots of fans who are highly detailed with their records. And thanks to David Carter and David Spurrell for these, but you might not want to know them. But did you know that Charlton's leading striker, I think he's got seven in six in October's league games so far. He previously scored three goals against Cray Valley Paper Mills because in season 2014-15, he featured home and away for Erith and Belvedere and scored one in one and two in the other. So Alfie May, he will you be hoping that he won't be playing against you?
Yeah, you look at where their threats would be and you hope that they don't play him. Because they can hurt you. And like you say, he's been in a rich vein of form so far. He's a goal scorer, always was in his non-league days, which took him into the Football League. And he's continued that, and fair play to him. He went into it later than probably other people would expect. But he's making up for lost time by scoring goals in every season he plays. But he's a good player. He's a finisher. And if you're not on your game, you'll come unstuck. But like I say, you never know. He may be left out and they give someone else a run.
Yeah. I mean, if he is there, then maybe one for the dressing room. Your own Kem Tumkaya, the centre-half, I think he was 16, made his full first start for Paper Mills in that second game against Alfie. So maybe there's a score to settle there.
Yeah, possibly, especially if he scored two goals and centre half was making his debut. He might remember that, but I very much doubt it.
That's what non-league fans are for. They're there to remember these things.
To give us all the information, you're right. But if he plays great, our centre half can put their wits against him. If he don't, it might be a little bit of breathing space. Whoever they bring in is going to be probably not as prolific, but as good as what it can do and cause us a few problems. But we just got to make sure that we nullify them.
Yeah. And what about Cray Valley Paper Mills? We spoke a lot about them a few seasons ago when, FA Vars defeated Dave Anderson's Chertsey Town in the final. You took over there in June, and I don't suppose you've had time to breathe, have you? Because you're into the second round of the FA Trophy, the first round of the FA Cup. You might only be mid-table in the Eastman Division 1 East, but you've only played five games. That's half as many as the clubs at the top of the table, and you've not lost yet. That's not a bad start.
No, it's a good start. It's a dream start, if you like. You know, the staff work ever so hard. They give all the players the information and help that they can. Players are the stars of the show that go on and perform. And they get the plaudits, which is rightly so. The help I've got behind me is tremendous, and it couldn't be done without them. And like I say, we prepare the players well for every game, and they've been out and performing. And like I say, we beat three teams in the league above. They're on a good run at the minute, and all they've got to do is keep doing it. And if they listen and keep taking on board the information we will give them, they won't do too bad this year.
And how's that changed from when you were a player? Yeah, I mean, you played under some non-league legends as managers, but that off the field team that you've got around you is it. Yeah, before you had you might have had a series of coaches, but now you've got a series of people with various other hats on as well.
Yeah, you've got to have the right people around you. So every club I played for, I believe that there was a good manager on board, and he had good staff around him. So a coach and a goalkeeping coach and stuff like that that knew what they were on about. And it's no different. I want to surround myself with people that are educated in football. And if I don't give the right bit of information, they'll pull me up on it. Mm. Also, they can just go and talk to players, and I trust them to give information to players and help players. So it isn't my stick and I hit everyone with it. They've got their own carte blanche to go and do what they want. And like I say, they're very knowledgeable. They've all played at a level. Done well at a level and have their right to tell people what to do and advise people. So that's what makes it work more than anything.
And yeah, I've already mentioned Barry Moore alongside you there, and you've known each other from your playing days. And Dave Anderson, previously of this parish, he often talks about that importance of that assistant manager, and you need to be able to, go face to face with each other at some point, because you're not always going to agree. Is it sort of like a brotherly relationship where you love each other, but sometimes you hate each other as well, and that makes it move on?
Yeah, well, I brought Mark Watson in over the last couple of years, and again, he's got a knowledge of the game and someone that we know very well. So it's a case of having people around you that know well, that you can trust. And yeah, we have our spats, all of us, on the sidelines, and don't agree, and I don't want people to agree with me all the time, and I don't want that nice side of it, because we want to win. But once that final whistle goes, we go in the bar and we have a pint, and it's all forgotten with.
Mm. And all of this, like busy since June at Crow Valley Paper Mill. Are you still driving the cab alongside all of this as well?
Yeah, still doing that. Yeah, and a bit of coaching as well on the side. So yeah, loads going on, but. Always done it. Let's say Mark does the same thing. He's a cab driver. Barry does the post. And that's what makes it work as well. So we can have conversations over certain things when, if you're in a 9-to-5 job, it's hard to find 5 minutes to take a phone call out. Yeah. So we're quite lucky on that respect.
And do you get time to chat to the punters in your cab and drop in the fact that you're going to be on TV this weekend?
I could do, but I don't. That ain't me. I ain't about that. I just sort of like do my job and that's it. I don't need to tell everybody what we've done, how we've done it, and things like that. So if someone asks, yes, we tell them, or I tell them. But I'm not someone that puts it in someone's face, because I know in football, it soon come around and bite you on the backside, and they'll be laughing at you. So no, just ride the wave. And if people ask, we tell them, or I tell them. If they don't, then just leave them to their own devices.
Yeah. Like a player, I think you let your boots do the talking back in the day. And I think, again, you let your management do the talking. So I said about, you're having the players in on Saturday, because you're playing this game, Sunday evening, really. Most people would be getting ready to go to work on Monday by the time you're kicking off. What are you going to be doing on Saturday? Are you one of these managers that will probably be out watching a game somewhere anyway?
No, I normally do, but this weekend I'll be going to watch one of my boys play. They both play, so I'll be going to go and watch one of them. My wife will go and watch the other one. Gives me a chance, because obviously Saturdays I can't watch them. Yeah. I can only watch them midweek. But the way we're going at the minute, we're playing every midweek, so it's hard. But no, this Saturday I'll be going to go and watch one of them, give my time to them, because they're going to give their time up on Sunday evening to come and watch our team play at Charlton.
What would you do without football, Steve?
Probably be lost, because it's been ingrained in me since a youngster, and I love it. That's the thing with it. You get your moments where you sort of think, is it worth it? But these times that come along now, of course they're worth it. Do you know what I mean? You don't get many of them, and everyone says there's 90% lows in football, probably 10% highs, and that's being a percentage that you're being generous with. But when they do come, just sort of enjoy it, and That's what you strive for, try and win leagues, to try and have cup runs. And you don't do it all the time, but when you do, just enjoy the moments.
Well, make sure you do, Steve. It's always a pleasure getting on the Non-League Football Show. Wish you well on Sunday. Better luck with training this evening as well. And we'll speak to you again very soon.
Top, man. Thanks very much. See you later.
Time then once again to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. It's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show editor at large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back again, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Wet, really.
Cold.
Well, yeah. I have to say, yeah, the heating here has gone on. I've given up. This weekend, we've already heard on this show it's FA Cup first round, and fingers crossed this weekend's headlines will be about cup sets and not weather upsets. I think it's one of those that if you do get to watch a game this weekend, I think we all need to make sure that we give thanks to the ground staff for helping getting it on. Because I was chatting to people again this week, even artificial pitches too, because they often need more additional work and more complicated work in very wet weather. It doesn't necessarily just drain away just because it's an artificial surface. And in any case, whatever ground you're at, there's also all the surrounding areas. There's the terracing, the car parks, even indoor facilities like clubhouses and toilets. When we've got water like this, if it's not rushing through the front door, someone's traipsing it through the front door.
It's definitely, a weekend to get wading through the puddles if a game is on through the car parks and get under that little bit of terracing, a little bit of cover that is insisted upon in the new stadium accreditation, as we call it now. But it's definitely a weekend for getting under there and letting the players and the managers and the officials get wet if the games are on, and hopefully they are. I mean, it's not looking great looking at the weather forecast and the way it's been the last couple of days, but hopefully we get plenty on. And as you say, it's all about the FA Cup first round proper this weekend, and hopefully as many non-league teams in that second round hat.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic to see that of the five FA Cup ties chosen for TV across the weekend, four are non-league opposition involved. Not only great for the clubs involved, because of the additional payments that come from that, but also for non-league as well as a whole. It offers a whole wider world of access to the wonders of non-league that we celebrate every week.
Yeah, I think we always say, don't we, how a FA Cup run can transform a club and everything that can come with it, not just the result and the memories that are sort of made sort of at the moment, but the longer lasting legacy often. And it's the perfect weekend to shine the spotlight on non-league clubs. And, as we always say, there'll be some upsets somewhere. Hopefully the TV cameras are quite a few of them, hopefully. And we can show people, which more and more people have been finding in the last sort of few years, especially since COVID, about their local non-league clubs. And hopefully that can pique the interest even more this coming weekend. And I'm sure it will. It should be a fascinating weekend ahead, and I can't wait. Sort of a few clubs are fancy for an upset.
There are a few that you fancy for an upset, and I said that there's those five live games, but as you mentioned, there should be a fixed camera each one of these games as well. So, anybody scoring that dramatic last minute winner has the opportunity to appear on TV and become that hero, that gain that legendary status. I was discussing with someone the other day, but back in the day, you get all the other media commentators and they talk about the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker for the non-league professions that all our non-league players are sort of filling. Back in the day, if you were a barber, if you were a hairdresser, You made extra money on the side by cutting everybody's hair in the dressing rooms at the end of the game. But I'd imagine if you are a barber or a hairdresser involved with one of these sides that are likely to be on TV, you could clean up this weekend before the games take part.
Their business cards out, couldn't they? And get a bit of underneath their shirts or something. But as we, I think probably more non-league players these days are sort of non-league players first and foremost in some case, and then sort of their other job is their sort of traditional main job is a bit more on the side these days because how much they put in and how hard they work, and it's a great weekend for so many players to really show what they're about and get that wider recognition. The scouting systems are so good these days that a lot of them are already on radars of clubs higher up, but often an FA Cup performance can really help you explode. I mean, I always think back to Jamie Vardy when he was at Fleetwood, and people have been talking about him for quite a few years before he even got to Fleetwood, obviously with what he was doing at FC Halifax and being part of their promotions, and everyone could in the non-league world people were kind of talking about him, and he was making a big impression. But I remember Fleetwood, I think he played Blackpool, and he really shone on TV that day, and I remember Ian Holloway saying some nice things about him after. So it just seemed to kind of catapult him a little bit even more into the sort of the wider football public's minds. And there's been plenty of players who've done that over the years, and I'm sure there'll be some this weekend who can really show what they're about and use the opportunity to give everyone a great show and put themselves, as you say, not just in the non-league paper, but maybe on Match of the Day as well.
But of course, being in the non-league paper is the most important one that I'm sure even Jamie Vardy must have in his vast entourage of caps and trophies and everything like that. FA Cup is obviously, it's the magical competition that non-league players get involved in. But the magical competition of the FA Trophy, we had that last weekend. Well, some of it last weekend. We've seen round one of the FA Trophy finally concluded with lots of games midweek after midweek postponements. Well, nearly finally, because Poole Town against Bracknell Town is now set, I think, for Tuesday the 7th of November, after Bracknell have potentially dumped Cambridge United out of the FA Cup this weekend. But that trophy game at Poole, it seems to have been postponed more times than certain members of my acquaintances have postponed their visit to the bar.
This is it. It's one of those. It's one of those that's going to go on for ages and ages. You can sort of see it getting squeezed in before the game. So I hope before the second round. Sorry. So hopefully that does get played. But I think probably from a Bracknell point of view, nice to have that clear week before going up to Cambridge United. We saw Kurz and Ashton pushed Cambridge to a replay last year, and it was only penalties that. That sort of settled it in the end in the replay at Cambridge. So Bracknell, they had a great moment last year when they played Ipswich live on telly on the Friday night, which is obviously Sheffy's this week when they play Walsall. So Bracknell have had a bit of a taste of FA Cup, and they'll be looking to have that again and then get back on with the trophy. I think they had a good run in that last year as well. So they've been definitely doing well in the cups. In recent seasons, Bracknell, let alone their league form as well, which has been obviously going well in the league as well, haven't they? So, hopefully that game gets played at some point, but the draws out and some interesting ties, especially now we've got the Step 2 clubs coming in and all that they bring with it as well.
Well, yeah, you say that interesting tie, and you say about that magical Friday night tie, because if Bracknell do get past Poole Town in that first round of the FA Trophy, the second round, which is due to be played, I think, sadly, the 18th of November, they'd be at home to Horsham. And, of course, Horsham are one of those playing a magical tie on Friday this week in the FA Cup.
Yeah, they are indeed. I think, as we said last week, they're not
best pleased.
Massively happy about having to go out there on the Friday, are they? Yeah, going to be, especially in this weather, it's going to be a difficult one. But I'm sure they've part of that and moved on from that now, and they're focusing on the game and going up and trying to give Barnsley some real problems. Tomorrow we've got our Football League paper reporter, Chris Dunlavy's coming alone to the NLP for a night and going across there to catch all the colour and the magic of that game for Sunday's paper. So hoping that he's a good luck charm for Horsham.
Has his signing on fee gone up from two packets of spicy knickknacks?
Well, we try not to bog him down in too many crisps. He's only a small lad, and we like to squeeze him into as many press boxes as we can, so we'll keep it that way.
Well, and that's the thing about the FA Cup first round. Suddenly, press boxes, you see why the ground grading requires a minimum of 12 spaces.
Get busier. They get busier.
It's gonna be an exciting weekend, and no doubt, but particularly at Non-League Paper Towers, as you have your fingers crossed that this... I believe there should be a slight break in the current weather, so we might have I don't know about sunshine, but at least some dry spells and some wind, which might help us get some games played. So obviously we've got FA Cup action that's going to be the main focus, but there's also league action for many this weekend if the weather allows. In the National League, I think we've just got Dorking Wanderers against Dagenham and Redbridge, but there are fairly full calendars in the National North and the National South. And well, in the North this week, we saw table toppers Tamworth beaten at Buxton, but they do stay 4 points clear of Scunthorpe, who've got their FA Cup action this weekend. But Tamworth themselves this weekend face a tough league trip to third place South Shields. So there's big attention not only on the FA Cup but also league action this weekend.
Yeah, there's some huge games across all the leagues this weekend. That's obviously one I'm glad you picked out, because that's our pitcher game on Saturday. And he conceded 9 goals so far in their 15 games, which is some record. And it kind of just goes to show the momentum and what that can bring sometimes. But obviously what a good job Andy Peakes is doing down there. And South Shields, I mean, there's lots going off the field with the news that Jeff Thompson's looking to sell off and looking for investors, but on the pitch it's been going great. And you know, the transition from Kevin Phillips, who obviously was the manager last year when they won the one promotion, but has since moved on, and Julio Arca coming stepping into his first management job, and again just kept that going. It's obviously a club he knows really well from playing there for many years. Obviously won the Vars with them as well, so yeah, they're both taken to their new level brilliantly.
And I guess we should mention the great start to the Isthmian Premier League season by Hornchurch as well. They're top of the table there after 12 games, but they're already, is it 8 points clear and unbeaten this season? But this weekend they face second place Enfield Town. Could we actually have a November title decider?
Ooh, it's an early call. It's an early call, but it does have the feel of a real biggie. And obviously Enfield went to Wingate on Tuesday night, didn't they, and got a win there. And I was speaking to someone down at the club this week, and the optimism is certainly flowing for everyone at Enfield Town. But I think they sort of see it as going to Hornchurch. It's kind of, you know, a bit of a free hit. They can go and pressure on Hornchurch. But Kevin McPherson doing a great job since he's gone into Enfield from Met Police and in the summer, in Hornchurch with Steve Morrison, who kind of, I guess, it raised eyebrows a little bit when he took the job there in the summer. You know, he's managing in the Championship with Cardiff not all that long ago, but he's a non-league boy. Steve Morrison obviously started his playing career at the level of, you know, like Bishop Stawp, and he's at Stevenage, and then he went on and had a brilliant career in the Football League and played in the Premier League as well. So he's kind of shown that he's more than happy to kind of come and get his hands dirty again and really learn his trade, and doing a great job. And that has a real feel of a nice big early game in November. That, you know, if Hornchurch win that, then they're really going to be nailed on favourites for it, aren't they?
Yeah, it'll be one of those. It'll be hard to stop. I think once you see this, you know, every now and then we get a side that they just. They're like a wagon train, an old-fashioned, you know, cowboy an Indian Western where the wagon's rolling and you just can't stop it. And you can almost potentially see that happening if Hornchurch get the win this weekend. you mentioned two managers there having a great season. Obviously, the managerial merry-go-round, it doesn't halt despite all the severe weather warnings. At the start of the week, we saw Alex Bruce announced as the new Macclesfield boss, formerly a coach at West Brom under his dad, Steve. But I think this is his first managerial appointment. And as we've seen from the various attempts at this one, it's not an easy job to take on.
Yeah, definitely. He's he comes in with all that sort of knowledge and know-how from his sort of playing days. He had a great playing career as well, didn't he? You know, played through the leagues and won promotions. And, I'm sure he's sat in on many a conversation with his old man and heard all sorts of great advice from not only his dad but other managers who he would have been around as well. So he's kind of got all. He's got all that, in his war chest, so to speak. And the club, is always an interesting one. How are they going to go? What sort of direction are they going to go? And were they going to go with someone who's sort of done the league, been in, obviously been down that route a little bit before. Mark Duff, he was in charge, made that sort of transition from player, as did Neil Downs before him. And obviously, that change was because he went on to Tranmere. But Alex Bruce, he's had a little playing spell at Macclesfield as well, so he does sort of know the club, doesn't he? And he knows what he's coming into, and he'll know the expectation. And the expectation there is to be in that promotion. Before the season, it's probably talk of titles and things like that. But they've found what a tough league it is. Obviously, Radcliffe absolutely flying away at the top, as it stands now. The difference between Mac and Radcliffe is 16 points. And they're only a couple of points outside the playoffs, and maybe that's where they're looking now. But lots of those teams above them will want to be having a strong say in who gets in there. It's a really competitive division this year. He'll have the resource and everything like that at his disposal. So it'll be interesting how they fare, and it starts with a long trip to the northeast on Saturday when they played Marsh United, who are struggling a little bit, but will be, I guess, relishing the opportunity to have Macclesfield at home with Alex Bruce's first game.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, they pretty much tried all the other dice in terms of management recently, Macclesfield. So I guess someone with this great resource, as you said, this war chest, he's got. Of course, he came out of retirement in 2021, as you say. It features as a player for Mac in the Northwest Counties Premier. But this is the Northern Premier. It's different from probably any other experiences he's had. He's brought in alongside him Phil Bardsley, Paul McGuinness, Dan Turnant. I think he's going to sort of be head of recruitment there as part of the team. Again, you look at these guys' CVs, and it's they're contacts, their knowledge, the resources that they've got in their mobile phones and whatever on their laptops and that sort of thing, is fantastic. So probably second to none in the non-league game, but those are contacts in the pro game. And of course, Mac have aspirations, and they're slightly different in setup from all the other clubs at Step 3, but they are playing at Step 3 and competing in Step 3 of the non-league pyramid at the moment. And you just wonder whether you might need some other magical ingredients to make it all work.
Yeah, I think they definitely have to get their heads around it all quickly. I've spoken to lots of managers over the years, and sometimes they, the ones who've maybe been in the full-time game and go part-time do sort of struggle to get their heads around it. And obviously, Mac are probably not as traditional sort of part-time, or non-league club from that point of view, because we see what they're trying to build there and what they have built there. But obviously, since they've reformed, and they're going up against some managers. You think of obviously Radcliffe at the top, Anthony Johnson, Bernard Morley, who know that area and that scene inside out like the back of their hand. They've had success with it, countless times. And look at Neil Young at Marine and what he's achieved. And these are serious operators at this level, and there's not much that goes on that they don't know about or aren't across. And that's the challenge, isn't it? That if they can get their heads around the level and what it takes, then they can have success. And I'm sure that's what they'll be trying hard to do. You know, they haven't been where they've been in their careers for, you know, being mugs, have they? So, yeah.
Definitely see the appeal from both sides. You know, if you're going to be your first proper job in management, what a project. We speak to managers week in, week out that are always looking for a project. And if you can get this right, you're pretty set for life in management.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's that risk of, you know, where, you know, as a manager, where do you go in? And that has to be the right one. But I always remember sitting down with Alan Dowson a few years ago, and he used to say, well, what's a project if you don't win games of football? It doesn't matter. So that's what they've got to do.
That's what they've got to do, indeed. And there'll be plenty of other new managers trying that out. On that managerial merry-go-round this week, who have I got in list? Gary Monty, he's the latest to step down at Southend Manor. That's a revolving door. From Monty to Conte. John Conte departed at Shearwater. We've got former Clapton and Basildon United boss Johnny Fowle is taking charge at Barking after Lee Benson's departure this week, and lower down, Alex Sim leaves the coaching staff at Mayhem Baker to become the Basildon Town manager. Coleshill Town's Dave Stringer's departed, and it's a step into management for the club's long-serving goalkeeper Paul Hathaway. Wishing well in that one. But meanwhile, we're talking about people with resources and knowledge and contacts books at Tiverton Town. Ex-Taunton Town, Dorchester Town and Truro City boss Lee Robinson taking charge. Now, Robinson's somebody with probably one of the strongest contacts books, I think, certainly in non-league in across the southwest of the country. So that's a big appointment for Tiverton Town.
Yeah, definitely. And again, as we say, getting in and winning matches will be the first port of call. And, you know, we see how often do you see at this stage of the season when a new manager comes in, changes a few things around, gets that so-called new manager bounce, and that it can really propel a team up the table. Obviously, they've had a bit tough sledding at Tivia so far this season. Just looking at the table here, they've only won two games so far, and third bottom, but you know, a couple of wins, and suddenly you're climbing up the table, and everything feels much better. But it's going to be we'll be going in with his eyes wide open, I'm sure.
It's only November. There's still so much of the season to come. In other news, we should send congratulations to Hashtag United and their young goalkeeper, Ted Kurd. The youngster on loan from Chelsea, I think, the last couple of months. He's been called up to England's under-17 World Cup squad. Hashtag United... There was, some sneering, I think, from some dyed-in-the-wall non-league fans when they first came into the pyramid. But they're certainly putting non-league on the radar, aren't they? Because I think the story goes that Kurd apparently asked to go on loan to Hashtag because he was aware of their online presence from when he was growing up as an even younger kid.
Yeah, it just goes to show how kind of, non-league has changed and the profile that... Hashtag and lots of other clubs have got through YouTube and utilising that as a tool. And you say probably people sneered at it because they didn't understand what it was. But Hashtag have shown what can be achieved and sort of the power of that that tool as well. And obviously they've climbed up through the leagues and holding their own in Eastern Prem at the moment. And, all credit to them, especially as they would have been. I'm sure they've had lots of sort of snide comments and people chatting behind, within earshot in sort of bars afterwards and things like that. But it's brought new people into non-league football as well, and that's a good thing. And on the pitch there, they've done well. And Chelsea, from sort of what I understand, I think they tend to only really let goalkeepers out into non-league on loan. Don't tend to do too many players. I mean, they do it occasionally, but outfield players. But but goalkeepers, they've shown in that they do get them out and get experience, and they don't send them to any club. They won't just let some of their young talents go out to any old non-league club. But that just shows that Hashtag are doing the right thing from that point of view as well, and the fact that the lad's got a call up to England is great for him and great for Hashtag, because that shows that he's performing there as well. So, and I guess it also shows that other young players and particularly goalkeepers, the value of getting out and playing and being in non-league, you know. And I was talking a couple of years ago to Graham Stack when he was involved in Watford Academy, and that was such a big part of their development. It was getting out into non-league. They had about 6 or 7 goalies out at the time, and you know, they get their kind of technical sort of stuff in the week at their parent clubs, but then on a Saturday and a Tuesday night they go out and they learn their game craft and managing a game, you know, having to be brave, be loud, go into a dressing room with football players who've been around a bit sometimes and sort of impose their character and learn and understand and get better from that point of view as well. So I think it's shows the value all round of that, but also great a great little thing for Hashtag as well to have him called up to England under-17s.
Yeah, and you know, you get knockers of the loan system as well. And I remember, you know, having on this very show Nathan Baxter, goalkeeper at Chelsea, who had spells at Met Police, Solihull Moors, I think Woking
as well. Yeah,
and then went on to he played at Yeovil for a while, Ross County. I think ended his Chelsea spell at Hull City. Never played for Chelsea. Then left at the end of the season and snapped up by Bolton Wanderers in the summer on a permanent move. And probably because of Ian Evatt's knowledge of his prowess as a youngster in the non-league game.
Yeah, and also shows that his example and many others that, you know, they're not scared to go out into non-league and play and make mistakes and learn the hard way. And I think, especially as a goalkeeper, it's so, if you're not the number one, you're not playing, and you're not going to get on for 5-10 minutes like a striker might at the end of a game, where you can sort of maybe impress there and get a goal and then get a bit more time the next week or whatever it may be. As a goalkeeper, you've got to get out and play games at whatever level, otherwise you can just be sat there. So it's all credit to them and for having that bravery to go out and go out of their comfort zone. You know, I think I imagine it can be quite easy to stay in the sort of the pro club, the academy kind of bubble and play your games in midweek and pass out from the back and be part of that and kind of just focus your way on that. But when you do come out of a club, when you inevitably there's not everybody, you know, is gonna make it at that original club or that big Premier League club. But once you come out and you have that good games under your belt, that shows for managers, that shows they can trust you because they know that you've played a lot of football and they're not just throwing somebody in who's never really played a game. And I think there's so many sort of examples of that, as you say, in non-league football. I mean, look at Sam Howes, who was, he's part of England youth squads who won tournaments, and he was at West Ham, and then he came out, had a season at Horsham, that got him into Wealdstone, impressed last year, got called out for England C, started his own little side business, of coaching and stuff, and now he's playing for Leighton Orient in the Football League, and that just kind of shows if you kind of do the right things and come out and play, you can get back and climb up the ladder.
Yeah, and similarly, I guess Nick Pope. I remember Dave Anderson telling me about how impressed he was at Nick Pope when he had him on loan, I think from Charlton when he was at Harrow Borough. How keen he was to get involved. He could quite easily have. He started in non-league at Bury Town, wasn't it? And then went to Charlton, and could have, again, so easily just stayed in that pro game, but wanted to get games. And now look at him, England, Newcastle United, top of the game, and it is. It also shows, I think, how much you can learn from non-league.
Yeah, it shows there's different routes as well, and it can be. Doesn't have to be. You don't have to be in a pro academy. You know, I think he was playing in Eastern Counties League first of all, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably was like Team Berg, with their Suffolk, West Suffolk College, and put in, given that chance at Bury, and spotted, and that's because he was out playing. If he, you know, if you're good enough, then you know the chances are you and work hard and have the right attitude, and the chances are you will get spotted and picked up. And you know, so he had his move to Charlton, but then he came back and had lots of loan spells in non-league, didn't he? And as you say, there with Harrow and some other clubs, and yeah, now he's been to major tournaments with England, Champions League with Newcastle, and you know, had an incredible career. And he's someone who still keeps in touch with his non-league roots as well, and he's often, his brother Josh plays in goal, and he often comes down and is watching him. And you know, it's good to see when people like that do well and go far in the game. And yeah, shows there's different routes at the top. It doesn't have to be a pro academy and coming out and you know, a bit alone and then getting your first team opportunity like that. It's often a different way as well.
Yeah, and again, the FA Cup first round this weekend, maybe that's the opportunity for some of these non-league stars to become the pro game stars of the future. Lots of FA Cup action then this weekend, league action as well to be reported. I imagine reaction to that FA Trophy draw. What we've got, FA Vars previews as well. We've got that coming up as well. Anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
I think that sums it up quite nicely. Also got a piece of a big non-league fan, Timmy Mallett, who's you know.
I know Timmy very well, and he, someone that's probably taken some stick over the years, but his knowledge of the non-league game is quite impressive, actually. You know, following Oxford United, but also being heavily involved in watching down at Maidenhead United over the years as well. And
yeah, it was nice that they played each other this week as well. I mean, the FA Cup as well, yeah. So split weekend for him possibly. But yeah, I've spoken to Lewis manager Tony Russell. They're starting their this Phoenix Trophy that FC United have been in the last couple of years, and been sort of, you know, I've found a clubs of and they won it the first year, and then last year got to the semi-finals and they lost the semi-final, but they played a fourth playoff game in the San Siro of all places. I mean, you know, how many Premier League players have played in the San Siro, but a lot of the player boys at FC United have. So it's sort of this European competition that's really grown, and Enfield Town and Lewis have come into it from England this year. And you know, Lewis start their campaign in that. FC United start theirs on Monday, and Lewis are on Tuesday against a Norwegian side who just won their division, Tony was saying. So he was right up for it, looking forward to creating a unique bit of history of managing a team and for the players of playing in a European competition. So we've got that in there. Adam Virgo, let's see, TNT as it is these days, TNT Sports pundit, looking over Chesterfield ahead of their big game against Portsmouth on Sunday. And also picking out a couple of the teams one of the teams that surprised him a little bit so far this season. I'll leave that as a surprise. And then it's all eyes on the FA Cup and the upsets, and hopefully plenty of them. Hopefully too many to get onto to the front page. I remember a few years ago we had a nice Cloud 9 headline because we had 9 teams through. So maybe a perfect 10.
A perfect 10. We look forward to a perfect Sunday morning with the non-league paper. Matt Badcock, thanks for joining us once again. The Non-League Football Show. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
And that then is another week gone. Thanks as ever to all of my guests. Good luck to all involved in the FA Cup this weekend. We hope you do non-league. I'll be sure that you will. A big thank you to everybody for listening as ever, and don't forget you can follow us and get involved on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel FUELL, and you find us on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Ditcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber production. J-I-B-B-A, J-A-B-B-A.